Episode 2. This is the second part in our four-part mini-series dedicated to the Catholic Church's beautiful teaching on the dignity of every human life. And during this 11th year of our pro-life mini-series, we are reading and reflecting upon this very powerful document, Humanae Vitae, the encyclical letter of Pope Paul VI, promulgated exactly 40 years ago on the 25th of July, 1968. Now, last week in episode 1, we discussed some foundational first principles, the building blocks that we need to build the rest of the teaching. And we talked about three main points. First, the Catholic Church has the authority to infallibly teach without error the moral law, both the natural moral law and the law of the Gospels. The Church doesn't have the authority to change the moral law since it has been given to us by God. The Church only can authentically and without error teach about it and interpret it. It's the first building block. Second, the second foundational first principle is that Almighty God created marriage. It was His wise idea. It wasn't the idea of the government or the president or the Congress. It wasn't your idea. It wasn't my idea. It didn't happen by chance. It was all part of God's intelligent plan to create marriage. Marriage has its dignity in origins in God, who is Himself love. The third foundational principle is that there are four characteristics to married love. It's free, total, faithful, and fruitful. And you should all have those memorized by now, right? Free, total, faithful, fruitful love. Free, total, faithful, fruitful love. This is what real love is all about. So those are our three building blocks that we talked about last week. And many of you were saying, my goodness, it took you 20 minutes to say them last week. It only took you 3 minutes to say them this week. But we expand upon it a little bit. We're just reviewing here now, okay? Now, this week in episode 2, I want to examine paragraph 14 of Humanae Vitae. If the foundation of married love is free, total, faithful, and fruitful, it follows from this foundation that certain actions are contrary to this type of love. And this is what Pope Paul VI says at the beginning of paragraph 14. He says, we base our words on the first principles of a human and Christian doctrine of merit. So he's saying the same thing I am, right? Or I'm saying the same thing that he is. We're using these as our foundational first principles to build what he's going to say now in paragraph 14. So if this is what love is about, free, total, faithful, fruitful love, then it follows that these actions wouldn't be allowed in that type of radical, free, total, faithful, fruitful love. First, he says this, we declare that direct abortion is to be absolutely excluded as a lawful means of controlling the birth of children. That's pretty clear cut, isn't it? Straightforward. Absolutely excluded. It would be absolutely wrong and immoral to kill a child already conceived, growing within the womb of his mother. That would be immoral to kill that child. Second, he says this, equally to be condemned is direct sterilization, whether of the man or of the woman, whether permanent or temporary. So, this seems pretty clear-cut too. Equally to be excluded as immoral are things like having your tubes tied or having a vasectomy. These things would be immoral and contrary to a love that is free, total, faithful, and fruitful. Finally, in paragraph 14, Pope Paul VI says this. Similarly, excluded are any actions, either before, during, or after marital relations, which are specifically intended to prevent procreation, whether as an end or as a means. Consequently, Paul VI says, it is a serious error to think that a whole married life of otherwise normal relations can justify actions which are deliberately contraceptive and so intrinsically wrong. And you know that we've talked about this many times before. We're talking here about condoms, diaphragms, pills, shots. Those things are immoral. For the church teaches, as Paul VI says, and I quote from paragraph 11, that each and every marriage act must remain open to its natural capacity to procreate life. So those are the three things: abortion, sterilization, and contraception. Now, Pope Paul VI says in paragraph 12, he says, we believe that the men of our day are particularly capable of seeing that this teaching is in harmony with human reason. I like that phrase. In simple language, Pope Paul VI says, you are brilliant. You are very intelligent. Because God has given you an intellect and a will. And he says that men of goodwill are particularly able to see, with great reflection perhaps, but they're able to see through reflection and prayer that this teaching is reasonable. At least it makes sense to me. It seems to me clearly that these things, abortion, sterilization, and contraception, are contrary to fruitfulness. Hopefully that's pretty obvious, right? Abortion, sterilization, and contraception are contrary to bearing fruit in your marriage. But I think it goes deeper. I think abortion, sterilization, and contraception are contrary to freedom. For these things say, well, I can't control myself. I can't control myself and my natural instincts and emotional drives. But if you can't help yourself, if you're in a certain sense determined to do these things, then you're not free. You're not human. You're merely an animal without reason. But a reasonable, rational animal can control his natural instincts and emotional drives. He and she is free to do that. Finally, and most importantly, I think that those three things, abortion, sterilization, and contraception, are against the second characteristic of love, which is total. Total. Remember last week we talked about total. Spouses giving everything to their spouse. But these things say, no, I don't give myself totally to you. I don't want to give you that very part of me that is life-giving. Now, Pope Paul VI, being inspired by the Holy Spirit and also being a very intelligent man, knew that this would be difficult. And this is what he says several times in the document. Like in paragraph 18, he says, it is to be anticipated that not everyone will accept this particular teaching. Too numerous are those voices which are contrary to the voice of the church. And this is intensified by modern means of communication. Makes sense, doesn't it? All the media, all the voices of the media. It's a pretty loud voice, he says. which are contrary to the voice of the church. He says again in paragraph 20, there is no doubt that to many it will appear not merely difficult, but even impossible to observe. You say, Father, this saying is difficult. Who can accept it? This is impossible to live. And Pope Paul VI has an answer. He says in paragraph 20, indeed, it cannot be observed unless God comes to their help. Indeed, it cannot be observed unless God comes to their help with that grace by which the good will of men is sustained and strengthened. Yes, it would be impossible on our own, but it is not impossible to live this teaching by the grace of God. And so as St. Paul today so beautifully says, I have this phrase on my desk, I can do all things in Him who strengthens me. I can do all things in Him who strengthens me. Don't say it's impossible, for nothing is impossible with God. You can do all things in Him who gives you the strength to do it. God will fully, not partially, God will fully supply whatever you need to live this difficult teaching. To God, our Father, to Him give the glory forever and ever. Amen.